this desire or this impulse of like, oh no, like I'm losing control. I don't know what's happening, that I feel like could only grow as they grow in independence. This is my suspicion of what might happen. And so for me, the reminder is, okay.
You bring
good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello, Kurt.
Wow.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, guys. Have you noticed a theme for the last three
calming
episodes?
Calming music to start us off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you not consider it calming?
I was going to say it's
and
more
relaxing.
Like, it's more 60s, like folky.
Folky?
Like yeah, upbeat yeah. folk music.
Uh-huh.
Which is okay.
Yeah. I like it.
It's almost non-existent. Like I'm listening.
It doesn't jar you.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
It's subtle.
Like the ukulele.
I love ukulele.
It's
like
Hawaii.
Oh,
really? It's like vacation.
It is Hawaii.
Is it Hawaii?
This is kind of Hawaii. Yeah.
That's kind of my vibe.
This is the montage driving down the Hawaiian
coast
with the waves splashing and people running around the beach.
Okay, pull it up a little bit, Chris.
And then Kurt jumps out of his truck with his surfboard.
North Shore.
Dolphins are jumping in the waves.
Kona's burrito.
Okay, I guess.
Pork burritos.
People are laughing and frolicking in the sand.
So when you think of Hawaii food, you thought of pork burrito. That's the first thing that came out of your mouth. So that's you got to stay with it. That's what came out of your mouth.
What I was thinking is surfing more, like because the burritos was surfing. Okay. But
so if I just said
Hawaii food,
you're on vacation in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Tina says it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
What do we want? What would you say?
Dude, Ted's Bakery, you got to go with the spicy garlic shrimp.
Wow.
So that's good. Very specific.
That's extremely specific.
That means he knows his Hawaii.
There you go.
Oh, it's so good.
What would you say?
I was going to say loco moco. They're kind of rice, egg.
I don't love loco moco,
but that's what I...
It's like Salisbury steak.
Have you had a loco moco at Stacks in Mission Viejo, right here by the church, right down the street? Stacks,
oh, really?
Stacks Hawaiian pancakes.
No, mm-hmm.
They have a loco moco.
Yep.
That and acai. Hawaiian acai is delicious.
You're getting closer to mine.
It looks so fresh.
100% every time I would say shave ice.
Shave ice. Oh,
shave ice. It's fluffy.
Yes, it's different there.
Because
is it the ice quality? Or the way that
I think it's actually the caliber of the machine that's shaving the ice.
Yeah, because it's not icy at all.
No, it's fluffy. It's
like almost creamy, but it's ice.
It's fluffy. It's the best. You go someplace here and you ask for shave ice, and it might as well be a snow cone.
It's like a...
The best shave ice on the planet is right down the street.
Snow to go is amazing.
Oh, I've never had
that. We have eaten shave ice in Hawaii, and then we come here and eat, and then it's like, no, this is a little bit better.
How about Chris?
Yes.
You know I owe you a Starbucks.
Yes.
How about if after we record, and Grace, you're welcome to come if you have time. She's got other things to do.
Yeah. Snow to go?
I can't wait for you to tear all this down. I'll take you to Snow to Go.
My gosh.
I'll take you to Snow
Dude. I'll jump in here and help me tear it down.
I don't want
to
help you.
Snow actually to go, not sit down to go.
I'll take you to Snow to Go.
You can do work in the room and let me go tear it down and return some calls.
See, now you're looking a gift horse in the mouth. You're putting conditions.
Gift you owe me. How is that a gift?
I like the idea. You guys can figure out when you go, but I like Snow to Go over the Starbucks.
He got so passionate.
You owe this to me.
It's just built up. It's been so long. I didn't realize.
What's
been festering there?
Forgive me, producer Chris.
You guys can work it out over Snow to Go.
For not paying up on my...
Okay. Hey, I came up with a few names for the series.
Oh, good.
That I was thinking about.
Finally, we're episode 3. We finally came up with...
Do you like double dose parenting? Two tips at a time. Double dose parenting.
Okay.
Or how about pair up parenting?
Two
tips, one episode.
is that the subtitle or is that another? Is that...
I just put a bunch of words together.
Keep going.
Being the dynamic duo. I like that.
Do you have chat GPT?
Is this ChatGPT ideas?
I can access Gemini.
Let me do ChatGPT real quick.
Okay. I don't know if that's going to be real quick, though.
Yeah. Oh, have you ever done it? Let me show you how quick it is.
How about parenting
pairings? Let me show you how quick it is. Talk parenting about something else for 15 minutes.
Parenting pairings, a series of two-tip episodes.
Okay.
I like a series of two-tip episodes.
The two-tip tango. Dancing dancing through parenting challenges.
No. Oh, wow.
That one's pretty good.
That's definitely a play off of words.
This is what I'm typing in ChatGPT.
Okay. What are you going to
give?
What's the question?
Give me a title for a podcast
series
revolving
around giving two tips on a subject each episode.
Tips per episode.
Okay. Boom. What does AI tell us?
I said give me a title, so they just gave me one. Oh, that so quick. Twice told, double the wisdom. Oh,
nice. Say, give me a bunch more. See what they say.
Give me three more.
I spend all this time writing these out.
Parenting perspectives, two tips at a time.
Oh, I like that one.
Duo insights, a double dose of advice.
Oh, I like double dose.
Twin tips, but they're not twin tips.
No, they're not the same.
Why not?
I like the first one.
Pairing perspectives?
No.
Duo insights?
No. What was the first one you said? Two tips at a time?
Twice told? Oh, two tips at a time was their subtitle.
Oh, two tips at a time.
What about the two-tip tango? No. Dancing through parenting challenges. Nope.
All right, we'll figure it out. We've got some leads.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes. Week three of our 3-week episode. Gosh.
Do it again. Ready, set, go.
Welcome back, everyone.
Tap it into that AI
to
again.
To our third episode of four that we're titling something around two tips.
Yes.
Each episode, Grace and I are each sharing one. Therefore, it's our top two tips on a subject today, as we now jump into it finally, is we are sharing two reminders to parents of teenagers.
Yes.
So if you're a parent of a teenager or you know somebody who is, and if you're not, you will be someday. In fact, Grace isn't yet.
Not yet.
So this is one that she's kind of decided she thinks she's going to lean into. Yep. Mm-hmm. That she's going to need to be reminded of. What are the top two things that we think every parent of teenagers needs to be reminded of? Mm-hmm. Grace, why don't you lead
in? You want me to kick it off?
Yeah, kick it off.
So as Kurt was alluding, my oldest is 12 years old. So I believe that we would consider that preteen, but not fully teen. And my one reminder for parents of teenagers is what I have started to feel with her and learning from what hasn't worked already in some of the changes that we're already experiencing as she goes through puberty and we're seeing the changes happen very rapidly. Like we're in the middle of it. Something that I want to remind myself moving into this next season of parenting is to stay connected through curiosity.
Mm.
And the reason why I thought of this as the one tip that I wanted to share was I find myself as she grows in independence to have more control because it feels like more and more things are going out of my control.
Yep.
And it's very different from when they were little, when they were born to pretty much now, it's like we had ultimate control. Earlier on, we controlled everything. I mean, you had to do everything for your child. So that wasn't even a question. It wasn't a question of how much can I control my child or not, or how much control do I have? That sense of stability, the sense of like, you know that you can keep your kids safe. You know, like what your kid is going through. It isn't really an issue when they're younger because you're just so ingrained into their everyday functioning.
Yep.
But as they are growing older, I'm finding there's conversations that they have that I'm not tracking. I don't know. There's things that they're doing, interests that they're expounding on where more and more things are out of my control.
Right.
And also they're experiencing the outside world in a way that I can't control the outside world.
Right.
Oh, that person said that to you. Well, I'm not just going to go to that person that kid and be like, right. Why are you talking to my child like that? Right? Like, right. There's more and more things where I'm like, do we get involved? Do we not get involved? Do we let her handle it? When do we get involved? Right? So there's this desire or this impulse of like, oh no, like I'm losing control. I don't know what's happening, that I feel like could only grow as they grow in independence. This is my suspicion of what might happen. And so for me, the reminder is I think that the more, or the things that I've seen, just subtle hints of it, if I lean into that sense of control, it actually admits a sense of anxiety or a sense of like I need to know too much, that actually pushes your kid away.
Yeah.
Versus what I want to lean into, and my reminder for parents with teenagers, is having that sense of curiosity of what your child, your kid, your teenager is going through, and allowing that curiosity to open the doors of connection.
Good.
Whatever the situation is. So reminder to myself not to be afraid of whatever topic or topics.
Right.
My daughter might raise, and she's already raised some topics where I'm like, whoa, like, first of all, I didn't know you were struggling with that or going through this, or this is happening. And it's easy to just be like, oh my gosh, panic, and like, bleh, shut down. But I have to remind myself, if I am curious, like, well, what were you thinking when that happened? Or how did this start? Or where, or tell me a little bit more about what, about that situation made you act like this, or to really just be so curious, like, what are they going through? And not assume that I know, or not assume that I just have the answer for them, but to really explore as they're developing and growing, like what angles of things that they might be thinking in their own mind, I think will really help stay connected to a teenager when there are a lot of forces that are out there that could potentially be encouraging the relationship between a teenager and parent to go more distant.
Right.
And just the reminder I have for myself is just, when do I feel safe to talk about anything? Mm. And it's really like, if I was talking with you, Kurt, if I raise something and you immediately sort of assume you know, right, but I haven't really finished exploring my thoughts, but you're just like, oh yeah, Grace, well, here's what I would do, or here's what you should do, or oh, I've been through that before, or why would you do that? Or like, if you sort of immediately jump to a conclusion and or a reaction, I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, thanks for the talk, Kurt, and I'd be like, out of here. But if you were genuinely curious about like, oh, what's going on, and create this space for me to even explore what was going on with me, it feels like a space where I want to connect more. I want to lean into that space. And if we as parents could remind ourselves, that's when we feel the most invited to build a bridge and to be connected, that's going to be the same with our teenage kid. If they feel that from us as parents, then they are going to want to connect, maybe not all the time, but to not sever the ties, versus, you know, which is I think super common in teenagers, and that's what I don't want. I want to be there. I want to have a relationship through all the phases of their, you know, their development.
Wow. For a mom who does not yet have teenagers, I think you're gonna do.
We'll see how well we do it.
Well, and as you were saying, the only one of the thoughts that came to mind is a different angle of curiosity too, is to stay curious about the things they're curious about. Right. So instead of trying to,
I love that.
Instead of trying to convince them to be interested and curious about the stuff that you're curious about, sports, whatever.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Be curious about the stuff that they're curious about, because that shows that you're interested in their world and you're willing to go into their world, which keeps communication open, as opposed to if they always have to figure out how to navigate dad or mom's world.
Right.
That's good. So good, Grace. My reminder for parents, let me set the stage first, is that I think it's kind of a no-brainer, kind of common knowledge, that as our kids get older, the consequences of when they get stuff wrong, the consequences of the mistakes they might get themselves into, the poor choices and all that, those consequences get bigger and longer lasting over time, right? There's just more mistakes a 17-year-old could make that are bigger than a 4-year-old.
Totally.
And so we recognize that. What my reminder to parents of teenagers would be is that there is almost no mistake that you or your teenager can make that's catastrophic. There are big mistakes. Your teenagers will make big mistakes. Almost none of them are catastrophic. And what I mean by catastrophic, I guess how I would say is like they won't dictate the rest of their lives in catastrophic ways. They may shape and form a large portion of the rest of their lives, some of those bigger mistakes that the kid could make. But most of them don't fall into that category. So, for instance, maybe a very common one, excuse me, would be a junior or senior in high school, probably more of a junior because of when they're applying for colleges and such, right? But or maybe even more of a sophomore because it all matters, early, right?
Yeah.
But they make some dumb choices, and they don't get the grades they should get. And they don't qualify for the school that you and them hope they'll get into based on what they hope to do for a career someday. It's a pretty big mistake. Is it catastrophic? Is it going to totally dictate the rest of their life? Or is it maybe only as catastrophic as mom and dad choose to make it and how we respond to it? Might it slow down by a year, them getting into the college they want? It might. Might it force them to attend a different college? It might. Could it disallow them from pursuing the career that they think they want when they're 16? It might. Is that catastrophic? I would suggest probably not. Probably not. Your 13-year-old, you've said you can't date until she's 16. You find out that at 13, she's been dating her 7th grade friend from school without you knowing it.
It's right? Catastrophic.
7th grade dating. What does that really mean? Was she being dishonest? Yes. Should there be consequences and conversations? Yes. Did she lose a little bit of your trust? Yes. Could her and the boy have done some stuff that you sure wish they hadn't as young? Yes. Was it catastrophic? Probably not. Probably not. So you kind of go through the list of these mistakes and so often, and I get it, like as parents of teenagers, we're like, we just want to protect them from doing stuff that's going to ruin their life.
Right.
Or change the course of their life. And I don't disagree with that.
Right.
I think we can parent out of fear because most kids don't make those decisions that we're terrified of. Most of them don't make those big.
Right.
And if they do, even then, those mistakes aren't necessarily, by definition, catastrophic. All three of us, producer Chris, I'm sure you would say, Grace, you and I would too, we all have friends who, when they were teenagers, made catastrophic mistakes. What society would say, that was one of the ones you can't do as a teen. That's going to mess your life.
Right.
And now they're our age, and because partly of the grace of God, forgiveness, resiliency, life tends to self-correct over time. We mature, right? All of these factors, the life is long. And so even really big, tough mistakes, parents, don't let yourself determine that that was catastrophic. Because you don't, if your teenager messes up big time, what you don't want him or her to hear is, well, you'll never get past
it's
that
over.
One. It's over. You screwed your life up.
There's no hope.
Good luck now.
Yeah.
Right?
Your future is bleak.
Your future
forever.
Is bleak. In fact, you broke so much trust, we'll never trust you again. You'll never.
Wow.
Yeah. And that message that you send to teenagers, suddenly a big mistake became catastrophic when it didn't have to become.
And that happens.
And that happens a lot. It happens a lot, which is unfortunate. So that would just be my thing I would say to parents over and over and over again. Pay attention.
Yeah.
Staying curious helps. Yeah. Teenagers are going to make mistakes. Teenagers are going to make some pretty big mistakes. most of the time. They're not catastrophic. Help your teenager learn through them, grow from them, stay involved.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the last episode, you parents of teenagers, you are still the biggest influence in their life. So lean into that. And you get to influence their resiliency and how they view themselves and how they bounce back when they do make really big mistakes.
Right. And you're letting them and yourself stay hopeful for the future.
Yep.
And if you don't have hope, then what do you have? And exactly. If it's too catastrophic, you're cutting off hope. And so that's really great, Kurt.
Well, thank you. Chris, producer Chris, you're awesome. Shave ice on me, buddy. Shave ice on me.
What is it called? Shave ice to go?
Shave ice. Snow to go.
Snow to go.
Snow to go.
Look, after your future is bright, Chris.
That's got a number 2 in it. Snow to go. Maybe we do something with that.
Tips
in the title.
To go.
It used to be called Snow on the Go.
It used to be Snow on the Go.
And then they're like, hey, Snow to go. Yeah. Maybe let's call this series
Two Tips to Go.
How about just Two to Go?
Two to go.
Two to go. I like it.
Makes me think of two frescoes.
It'll be the number 2 and then the word
to go.
Two to go. Like, hey, I'll take 2 to go.
Yep.
There you go.
That's it.
Perfect.
That's it.
It took us 3 episodes. You know what? We did reveal, though. I mean, some people have probably figured this out, especially if they watch.
It's fine.
But we oftentimes record multiple episodes in one setting, which is why we're recording all of these in one, which is why by episode 3, we still didn't have a title.
And why we're wearing the same clothes.
And why we're wearing the same clothes. Everybody, we'll see you soon. Thanks
Bye, everyone.
Listening.
Bye.